So today, I want us to start with Psalm 139, 14 to 18. So whoever is in Psalm 139 from verse 14 to 15, please, can you read? You can just unmute and read.
I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows you very well. My frame was hidden from you when I was made in secret, skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in the book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awoke, I'm still with you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the great thing about this scripture is it's about personalizing it, because this is the truth. Today we last week I didn't do a recap today, but last week we studied on entering into promise. We saw what promise looked like. We saw that promise is a person, and that person is introducing us to a place. And when he came to the earth, Jesus Christ himself, we saw that he's the man of the spirit. So everything he speaks to us about reveals the spirit realm. He doesn't speak in earthly terms because he doesn't have an earthly mentality. And we studied and we saw how Philip was operating in an earthly mentality, and how even when Jesus would speak from that realm of the spirit, it was hard for Philip to comprehend. He totally misinterpreted what Jesus was saying, and he got all worked up thinking about money and how to make a whole year's wage. Things were complicated for him because of the earthly cycle of doing things in a certain pattern year after year after year. So over time, our life patterns, most of us have lost our identity based on the cycle of operation we have been involved in. Like, you come to this earth, you came as a spirit being, you existed as a spirit being before, you were formed in your mother's womb. This is what we're entering into now. I'm just re From that recap, I'm just entering into what Jen just read today, so that you can see how that flows into our existence. When we have that earthly pattern, and that pattern has worked for us for so many years, we're used to making plans and having, stages of how we want those plans to be executed. And over time, we begin to operate in a certain way of thinking, a certain pattern, because we are of the earth. But Jesus Christ came, and he came to transform, not just to save us from sin. He also came to transform us into the image of God that we were designed to be in the beginning. Is it not amazing? Is it not amazing that God, sorry, I'm just unmuting. I'm just muting. Is it not amazing that God came to earth, in human form, so that he can show us how to live upon this earth? He can show us what manner of people we are on the earth. At this moment, I know many of us will be wondering, oh, you know what? I'm not a preacher. I've not gone to a school of theology. Oh, I've just started this walk with Christ. Oh, I don't know a lot. But I want you to know that the moment you said yes to Jesus, because what Jesus does, he said you should draw close. Once you draw close, he comes even closer. So you are not far away from his drawing. You're not far away from his reach. And the more, it's a daily step of drawing close. It's the same thing with the mindset. In order for us to change from the earthly perspective of viewing ourselves, some of us, we've gone through so many experiences, and when we look at ourselves, we look at ourselves based on the summation of the things we've been through. You know, they say life is a summation of our experiences, you know. But what Jesus wants to do right now is begin to take us, is to take us into his own experiences so that we can have a change in the way we operate. You know, and the courts of heaven that we came to begin to, we came into and we began to access is just one aspect. You know, there's the fullness of God. You know, many of us have listened to, we're popular with many some preachers are popular to us for the things they teach, right? Like when you think of Joseph Prince, you're thinking of grace, right? You see the grace of God revealed through somebody who has accessed the grace of God. And then when you see somebody else talk about, you know, love, you see the love of God expressed in that person, or even you as a child of God. You are expressing God wherever you go. You're this amazing person like June. You know, people who come around you, they feel comfortable because you're so loving and you're so caring. You know, so there's that nature of the Lord that you have that people get to benefit from. So now with the courts of heaven, it is the nature of God that is justice that we also need to be accustomed to. There's the nature of God that we need to be accustomed to. There's all this that the Lord wants to reveal to us in the earth right now. He doesn't want us to be left out of any part of him. He wants us to comprehend and walk in the fullness of everything that he is. You know, so now about understanding who we are, it brings us to the knowledge of how God put to thought, careful thoughts, our creation. How God is interested in every detail of our life, and he planned all of that even before we were formed in our mother's womb. You know, that's the craziest thing to me. Like, here it's, what's his name? David, yes. David said that he is fearfully and wonderfully made. And this is what the Lord is telling you now. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your frame, just personalize it. Your frame is not hidden from the Lord. He made you in his secret place. He put a lot of skill into who you are. So everybody else that tries to tell you all that negative stuff about you, they are the ones that are liars. Because God put into careful thought your creation. Your substance, before you were yet unformed in the flesh, he already put that into careful thought. And he also has a book for you. He wrote a book for you. And the plan of God was that when you take on the flesh, you will live in accordance to that book. And that book is in the spirit. It is not in the earth. It's a book that is in the spirit realm that God prepared for you. The thing is, we knew this. We said yes to God. When that book was presented before the Sanhedrin in heaven, when it was presented before the courts in heaven, the spirits of righteous men that were made perfect, the church of the firstborn. All of that that we learned in Hebrews 12, 22 to 24 through these teachings. We are full-blown spirit beings who stood in the heavens, in that secret place of our formation. And the book was opened. You read so many scriptures where a book was opened. Or you see, even in Revelation, where John the Beloved will eat a scroll, eat his own book, you know, so that he would come into alignment with his book. So this is to show you that you have a book and that you agree to God with, concerning fulfilling that book. But when we come to the earth, because of walking in this pattern of operation on the earth, because of the cyclic nature of, oh, wake up, shower, go to work, come back, wake up, shower, sleep. You know, that cycle we're used to, oh, we have to fulfill this challenge, or this is how I'm going to plan towards it. You know, over time, we have a way of dealing with situations, you know, and then there's the expectations that the world expects has concerning us. So we have amnesia about who we are as spirit beings. And what the Lord Jesus, who is the man of the spirit, wants to do is to bring us to remembrance. Even he had a book that he fulfilled. And the scriptures we're going to read afterwards will reveal to us that Jesus Christ said he was also living in accordance to a book. We see that David was so amazed that each of his days was fashioned for him already. You know, how about we think, you know, what will it do to us when we find out that each day has been fashioned for us by the Lord? What difference will it make if we see that the Lord had planned all of this out for us and that it was supposed to be blessed and beautiful and it was to fulfill a purpose, a calling? David said if he could count the sum of all the thoughts that the Lord had for him, it would be too much, much more than the sand. So part of what we're trying to do even today is begin to unveil what those thoughts are that the Lord has for you. What those thoughts are that he already wrote in the book. It's not just a thought now. There's a whole book reading about what God said you and I will fulfill. Amen. Does that make sense? Amen. So let's go to Jeremiah 1:5. We also have Psalm 47. So please, whoever is in Jeremiah 1:5, please read it for us.
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.
Amen. 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 So that is Jeremiah's story before he was formed. God is saying that he knew Jeremiah. He had already appointed him to be a prophet. He had already placed him in. He already knew where he would be located in a certain time in history. He already knew the impacts that Jeremiah would do on a daily basis. It was all done before he was formed in his mother's womb. See, as spirit beings, we already had an existence in heaven. Our flesh and all the things we have now, like our chubby cheeks and our pointy nose, our big lips, our big eyes, our hair texture, all of that is the summation of the genes of our parents. That is just the body. That's the external body. The way we react externally, the way we look externally, comes from the chromosomes we get from our parents. But the spirit comes from God. And God wants us to understand what that spirit is called to do. So at the point of conception, when the sperm and the ovary meets, science says there's a flash of light at that point. And we believe that that flash of light is a spirit man coming from the kingdom of light into the womb of the woman. We came with a blueprint, we came with an assignment, we came with a calling. And for Jeremiah, the Lord told him clearly. For David also said it because he knew that he had engaged with God, that he could see his book. He was living out the book that the Lord wrote concerning him. Same with Jeremiah. And when we go further into, if we go further into Hebrews 10:7 and Psalm 47, we will see that it was the same story for Jesus as well. So whoever is in Psalm 40, verse 7, please, can you read?
Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll.
Amen. Amen. It's the same thing with Hebrews 10:7. Whoever is there. Thank you, Linda.
Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.
Amen. Amen. So Jesus Christ talks about the scroll. Other translations talks about the volume of the books. It is written concerning me. So it depends on the writer, you know, what, and the interpreter, what words they use. But the scroll and the book, it is the same. So Jesus Christ came knowing that he came as a spirit being to leave out a scroll, and every one of his days was numbered. And he yielded himself to the will of the Lord. So the thing is, when we yield ourselves to the will of the Lord, we begin to leave out the scroll that he wrote for each one of us. Submitting to him and to his ways and to his calling upon our lives makes us leave out that scroll. We come into alignment with what the Lord has written concerning us. We'll read 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15 to 17, please. Whoever is there, please read.
Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him.
Amen. So in relating it, okay, this is, he's saying that, God is saying that to join yourself with a harlot, you become one flesh with that harlot. And we also know that in the beginning, in Genesis 2:24, God had told Adam and Eve that the man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they will become one flesh. These two scenarios, whether it is a man and his wife or a man and a harlot, God is likening it to someone whose spirit is joined to him, becoming one flesh with him. The question now is, can you guys see that this has nothing to do with sex? Because it says that when you join yourself with an harlot, right, you become one flesh with an harlot, right? And now God is likening that union. He's saying, not just likening, he's saying that that union that takes place when we join ourselves with another, makes us one with the person. And that there's a way that you and I can be one with him. So this has nothing to do with, you know, when it's the first scripture about joining with an harlot, the most of the time we think, oh, it's sex. But no, it's the spirit that has existed in that person. You come into alignment with the spirit. It's a spiritual union. So being a harlot does not make her any less of a person. It's just saying that the spirits that she has engaged with all the other people she has engaged with, the spirits in all of them become one with as many of that as possible. That what God is talking about is that is a unity we have with him in the spirit. That when you and I choose to come to the earth, it is needed, it is a necessity for us to consciously join with him in the spirit. Like a man will consciously leave whatever he's doing and in that moment join with an harlot and take on whatever is the nature that exists in that harlot, that the spirit's in her. Say he comes into agreement with those spirits. He comes into union with those spirits. And they begin to operate in his life. And they have a say in his life. They have a say in what the book, the other kingdom wrote concerning him, is revealing. Because the enemy is a counterfeit. Whatever it is that God has revealed in his kingdom, the enemy makes a counterfeit of it. Remember, Satan existed in heaven. He was the anointed cherub. He was the angel of worship. So he just copies. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to be referenced like the Lord was referenced. He wanted all of that for himself. So he makes a copy of everything that exists in that kingdom. So just like the Lord has a book concerning your life that he wants to see revealed, the enemy also has his own book written concerning your life that he wants revealed. And just like the Lord provides opportunities for you to come into union with him, to come into union with that book that and that scroll that he has written concerning you, the enemy presents those opportunities in our times of weaknesses, where we can come into times of weaknesses or even times of ignorance or just a lack of knowledge. Scripture says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So what we don't know, they say, what you do not know cannot harm you, and that's not true. Because in the spirit realm, what you do not know can harm you, because there's ignorance attached to it, and you are unaware that the enemy has these bogus plans against you, because he knows that you are in the image of the very being that he has desired to be as.